Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, 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 new year.
New year, new you.
Yes, well, I feel like, you know, new year, same me. Well, no. Well, yeah, I don't know. How was your new year?
My new year was great. I'm finally in the house. By the way, hey guys, happy new year. It's Mandy and Tiffany with Brown and Vision.
Yes, meanwhile, I forgot. I'm so rude. I'm like, hey, Mandy, how are you? Oh, hey, Brown and Vision listeners, my bad.
They might. Did you guys forget us? We missed two episodes.
I know. People were like, so where have you been? We've been here living our best life. Mandy's in the house, right?
I'm in a house. Yeah. My house looks really beautiful. We're like 98% done. I have realized that it's nothing like HGTV. I mean, I already realized that. But in terms of like the moment when you walk in and you've been kicked out for a week and you come in and everything is perfect, that doesn't happen in real life. Nah, brah. Over the holidays, I was telling Tiff, like, I had to host my family and my husband's family, and I had no countertop, no dishwasher, no stovetop, no sink, no sink in the kitchen, no nothing, no silverware, because you have to understand, like, we moved into the house in April, but we never really unpacked because we knew we were going to do a renovation, and when the renovation happened, we, like, got out of there. And this was like us unpacking the house plus building furniture. And your best, you know, most smartest podcast friend here decided to plan a housewarming party for New Year's. And she thought that she was going to have a Christmas party. And yeah, I still had my family over, but I had to cancel all planned functions except for the essential people.
You did what the kids called the most.
I try, but like, you get so excited. It didn't seem like that big of a deal in November. My contractor was like, yeah, Christmas. What he meant was Christmas, you'll have like, you know, we had the essentials. We could move in and everything. But also just, you have no idea what it takes to build. So we were building so much furniture, like the packaging, our whole yard until today was just the backyard was filled with boxes and styrofoam. And I'm like, so sorry, Mother Earth. We promised we were recycling it, but like the amount of packaging that these everything would come in from like a lamp to a, you know, a bed frame was insane. But I know my way around a drill gun right now. So holler if you need any help.
That's one thing about renovating. It like you become like a semi pro. You're like, oh no, that's the insulation. It really needs to be packed tightly because you're like, where did I learn these things?
Yes. If you guys are doing home renovation projects, here's a free tip is to go to pbs.org or like YouTube and watch This Old House. It's the best because they actually, my husband's obsessed with it, but it's this old, it's been on the air for decades. But I feel like if you're doing any kind of home improvement, they have an episode for everything. And like just YouTube in general. I mean, obviously not for electrical and stuff, but for little things. I mean, we learned how to do so much just from watching, watching YouTube. Yeah.
YouTube University in the house, huh?
Right. Yeah, but it was good. What did you do over the holiday?
My holiday was pretty chill. Like I, Christmas was nice. Hung out with my family. My nieces and my nephew. That's like, you know, I feel like Christmas is so a kid's holiday now. So Superman and I'm like, thank God he doesn't listen to the podcast because Superman and I said we're not going to exchange gifts. So what does that mean to you, Mandy, when you're not going to exchange gifts?
You better get me something.
No! Oh my God. So you are on his side. I was like, you said we're not going to exchange gifts. Christmas comes. He whips out this watch for me and I'm looking at him like, oh my God, I didn't get him anything.
Okay. Awkward.
Because we said, I must have said it like 15. So we're not exchanging gifts, right? No, because we're working on the house. Yes. So we're not exchanging gifts. Mm-hmm. No. So you're sure. So I'm like, wait, why is this here? I was like, it was so awkward. I'm not gonna lie. He had a little bit of a tude. I was like, what's your problem? He's like, nothing.
Were you with your family or just the two of you?
No, Supergirl had opened her gifts. You know, it was upstairs, like, you know, like rolling around in all her new things. And I could tell he was like, here you go. I was like, oh no.
God, I miss being 12.
I know.
The best.
And so I didn't even say anything. So then and at first, honestly, I didn't think that he was going to be upset about it, because I wouldn't, because we literally just spoke about it.
You had receipts probably.
Yeah. So I was like, okay. So
they don't matter. You should have got him something.
And so the next day, he still had an attitude. I'm like, what's your problem? He was like, I can't believe you didn't give me anything for Christmas. I was like, are you kidding? He was like, we just said that, Tiffany. Everybody gives gifts. And I was like, well, first of all, I did get you a gift. Meanwhile, Mandy, whew, I didn't. But you know what? Amazon Prime is the real OG. I was like, I did get you a gift. It was just delayed because of the holidays. And he's like, you did? I was like, it'll be here tomorrow. Meanwhile, I ran upstairs like, ah!
You told a Christmas white lie, Tiffany.
But I will say he was very happy because he's getting his man cave in the new house. And so I got him, it was a great deal. I got him one of those refrigerator, mini refrigerators that you can put, like, you know, your sodas, your beers and all that kind of stuff, you know?
Men do love their fridges.
Yes. And so he loved, like, it was a good size. And I was like, whew, thank God it Prime was on and popping. And literally was like, it'll be here tomorrow. I was like, your gift will be here tomorrow. So see? And he was like, yo, he loved it so much. I mean, when I say so much, I don't even feel bad about not being truthful about it, because I feel so bad because I didn't realize how important it was for him. Maybe that's his love language, gifts.
Oh, I'm all into love languages right now.
Yeah, but I really, like, mostly, I feel like his love language is mostly acts of service. And he's usually not a big on gift receiving. That's why I was really shocked or maybe it's just me, because honestly, I could care less about it. I mean, the watch he got me was really beautiful, but I don't know. Maybe it's because gifts don't mean that much to me. And so, like, I'm more of a...
I mean, you didn't tell him that when he gave it to you, did you?
No, I loved it. I told him okay. That it was beautiful, and I loved it. He picked it up, like, a really beautiful watch. And I was like, oh, my God, this is beautiful. And I was shocked, because I was like, this is not even, like, one of those, like, we're not giving gifts, but here's a Starbucks card. We're not giving gifts, but here's some perfume. This was like, we're not giving gifts. Oh, here's a Movado watch. I'm like, really? What? This is more than just a gift. This is, like, a good gift. Why? Oh. So it was a lesson learned. I mean, he's happy now because he's got his fridge. And he was like, this is so dope. I told all my boys. So I was like, whew. I'm sure their wives were like, she didn't get you nothing. She just ordered that. But I'm glad that, like, you know, he enjoyed it. So that was my Christmas. And New Year's was super awesome. His sister always has an awesome party at her house. She goes all out. So we had a really good time for New Year's.
Must be nice to have a party. It's okay. I still have some friends over. It's fine. It was lovely. I was going to say, we decided not to do gifts, but we ended up getting each other gifts that were for us, but also for the house. So that is how we justified the expense. I got him a really nice Craftsman toolkit that he had been literally just like just G-chatting me every day. Just, here's that link again. I got him that, and he got me a coffee maker. So now I can make, because the biggest gripe I have about living out in the suburbs is that I can't just get out of my apartment and go downstairs and get a nice latte. Now I have to, like, drive to the Starbucks or drive to Dunkin' Donuts, and I'm so tired of spending $5 on, you know, lattes. So now I can do my own lattes. So
hey, sweet.
Very nice, very nice. So then we came back to work and reality, and my husband, who, you know, I was like, maybe you shouldn't have got me a gift because now you're basically not going to get paid for work.
I know.
Because he works for the government.
This government shutdown has me like, I'm like, I feel so anxious for folks like who, I know this is not the first time they've had, you know, this government, like, you know, the government has like shut down and federal workers have not been paid. But it's, I guess this is kind of like the first time that I feel like I know folks that are talking about it. They're like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know when I'm going to get my next paycheck. And, you know, some people are home, but the hard part is those people who actually still have to go to work and not get paid. Like, yeah. TSA workers, you know, I heard that there's been this huge, like, calling out, like, everyone's taking their sick time, you know, like, am I working for free?
Right. Because you work and you're not going to get paid. But the hope is that they'll retroactively pay you. So it's not like it's the first shutdown. That's true. My husband's worked for the federal government for over 10 years and he's gone through several shutdowns before, but he always got paid retroactively. But what's making everyone nervous is that we haven't had a human man baby in the presidency before. you know, holding everyone's paychecks hostage over a dumb wall. So that's why I think this one's just a little bit crazier. And so my husband's worked, he's been working, he got paid, I think, the Friday during the holidays, basically for the week, like for the work before, the 2 weeks before. And now he says he's at work because he's been deemed essential, and but he's not getting paid. He's like, no, I'm not working late tonight, I'm coming home because I'm not getting paid anyway. It's not cool. But it's not just like workers, it's also us, right? So the IRS right now, who do you, like, they're federal employees. Yes. So this is tax refund season. So there's concerns that tax refunds may not go out on time because there's not enough people, staff. And already the IRS like didn't have enough people, in the best of times. A friend of mine
worked for the IRS and he said that, you know, like you are going to have to send your taxes in a timely manner, but they cannot guarantee that you're going to get your refund done in a timely manner. I'm like, wow, this is really... like, this is really a season where people kind of like reset their finances with their tax returns, you know?
Yeah, I would like mine, please.
Well, I don't get tax returns anymore, so I'm kind of like, well, but still, like, I remember when I was teaching how that was like, woohoo, it was a great way to like boost my savings or pay down additional debt. So it's just crazy times now.
Yeah, and they're saying that things like, what do you call it? I almost said welfare, but you're not supposed to say that anymore, are you?
I don't know.
Can you say welfare? Welfare assistance, food stamps, may not, like, they're good for now, but they may not be good if the shutdown drags on forever. So it's not just, it's like everyone's getting screwed, working families, poor families. I mean, how, why? It's so ridiculous. And I don't know what the latest is, but it doesn't seem like we're anywhere closer to reaching a deal than we were, you know, a week or two ago. So just hope that we get over this.
Yes, because one thing I did see that, like, I saw this video of our current president, and he said that that potentially this could last a year. And I'm like, wait, what?
holding your own government hostage and withholding pay for hundreds of thousands of employees. This is
It's about 800,000 people affected. I mean, as far as directly affected, and it's like, how does that, you know? Yeah, that's and it's crazy because it's just really crazy.
Well, here's hoping. Don't try and visit any national parks. There was like this really sad photo of a national park trashed because no one's there to pick up garbage.
I saw that. I was like, wow. I heard DC is looking real filthy right about now.
Well, I think teachers and like policemen, those are state employees, right? So they're not impacted.
No, I feel like, cause, my sister-in-law's husband, I think he said that he was home. I'd have to ask her. But I feel like he was complaining about it as one of the people that was talking about it. And he's a police officer, but I don't think, but he also would be essential. So I just can't see. Or maybe it was her. I think maybe she works for the federal government. That's right. She works for HUD. So it's her that's home, not him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, if you're impacted by the shutdown, we want to hear from you.
Yeah.
Send us an email at brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com or tweet us at.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you still got it. Or tweet us at the BA podcast on Twitter.
Yes.
So you, Miss Thang, have a, what's your Live Richer challenge for 2019? What did I do?
No, that's fine. I thought you were going to say something else. Keep going.
Thought I was
going
to scoop your boost.
Yeah.
We'll get to your boost. Okay. Don't you worry. Not going to scoop your boost.
So I'm excited because this is our fifth Live Richer challenge. We so far have had not including this challenge, but collectively over the last 4 years before this challenge, about 700,000, mostly women, get free financial education. The first challenge was all about the fundamentals, so like budgeting, savings, basic credit, all that kind of stuff. The second challenge was the savings edition, so it was all savings. Third challenge was the credit edition. That's the one I did with you, Mandy. And Magnify Money. That was a really dope one. And then
we were young then.
The fourth challenge was all about net worth. That was last year. And now this challenge is the home buying edition. And so the way the challenges work, they're always free. It's really like my give back to the community. So there's no excuse that, you know, you like you get all the tools that you need to help yourself in a specific kind of like genre of financial education. And a lot of folks just ask me, like, how do I, you know, purchase a home? And I partnered with a friend of mine, Nativa Hurd. She has this company called MNH Financial Services. But what I love about Nativa is that not only is she a credit expert, like certified and all that kind of stuff, but she's also a certified, she's a realtor, and she's also a certified home buying educator. So she works with like Freddie Mac and some of these other kind of like federal and national home buying education kind of like firms and she teaches around the country. And so I asked her if she could come on board and help me to structure this in a way that made sense, you know? So she lent her expertise, and it's awesome. The first week is all about home buying knowledge. Second week is like all about implementation, kind of like what do you need to do to kind of get yourself ready? And then the third week is all about funding, like how do you what types of funding are out there, and like what's the best fit for you. And so even if you might not be ready to buy a house right now, which is fine, but it's almost like it's like a first time home buyer class that you could take in the privacy of your own home. It's 3 weeks. The emails are delivered directly to your inbox. You can just go to LRC for Literature Challenge, lrchomebuying.com. And it's completely free. It's like I said, and for some people who are like, I'm not interested in home buying, but you talked about the other ones, net worth, credit, savings, fundamentals. You can just go to liveritualchallenge.com and all of them are listed, and just take one. It's a great beginning of the year kind of like reset. And so that's why we always do it in the beginning of the year. And so those are automated. We're currently doing the home buying edition live, and then we automate it after.
Fabulous.
Mm-hmm. It's my way.
Where were you 2 years ago, huh?
I know, for myself too, shoot. But it's just good because like some things I'm learning even myself. That's the thing about like me. I'm like, I'm not an expert in all things. Like I know what I'm good at and I try to stick to that. And then my friends who are, I bring them along and I'm like, well, can you show folks how to do this? And I've never gotten to know yet. And what I love about it is that you really get to learn like everyone you need on your team. You're like, oh, a realtor. Oh, I need a, you know, maybe a mortgage lender. You know, I'm going to need potentially like, you know, like definitely you're going to want somebody to inspect the home, and these things that you can get ahead of time. And two, like, you know, there might be a teacher next door program or a police officer next door program that you might qualify for. What's NACA, you know? And so knowing all of the funding resources that are out there and what you need to do to be prepared. So one of the things that Nativa, because she teaches, like I said, for like Freddie Mac and some of these other organizations, is that like that her students always come back to her and tell her that their lenders, like, you are like one of the most prepared people I've ever seen. Like all of your stuff is in order, because the way she teaches is to make sure that all of your stuff is in order. So when you do go, you are likely to, you know, to get approved. I've seen people find a house, get really excited, get a pre-approval letter, only not to be able to close because at the end, you know, they didn't have their paperwork done, or they really could not, their finances just didn't match what the lender felt comfortable lending. So yeah, that's what this is for. So, and yeah, you don't have to be ready right now, just for people who are just even interested in learning.
I'm interested in learning more about like the tax implications of homeownership, especially now with all the tax changes from last year finally going into effect. Like, I think my next move is to get a new accountant, because I had like a tax preparer before, which was like very simple because we just had like W-2s and, you know, nothing else to really account for. And now I'm thinking, you know, we just did this big renovation. We've made a lot of improvements to the house that save on energy costs and things like that. But what I'm not sure about, I'm not asking you for like an answer because I know, but I'm just saying maybe other people are wondering too, with the standard deduction for tax filers having gone up, what that means basically is it makes less sense for you to itemize things like charitable deductions and the cost of installing new windows on your house or whatever. But I'm wondering now if we've made enough improvements to the house that it makes sense for us to itemize. And if we do itemize, it would be our first time. And especially, I think this is our first time filing as a married couple. I can't remember if we did last year or not. No, I think this might be the first year. So yeah, what does all that mean? And last year we ended up owing taxes. So I'm just like, I'm going into this. I want to like prepare and get, I'm like interviewing accountants now just to get on the ball.
No, that's, I mean, it's critical because, I mean, I thankfully I had my accountant for the businesses, but you know, he doesn't just do my business. He does, you know, my personal taxes as well. So just sitting, you know, I remember when he sat down with us and, you know, was we were kind of going back and forth, do we file married filing separately, or married filing jointly? Like, do we like claim, you know, he Superman has a daughter, my bonus daughter, Supergirl. Like, do we claim her? So there were all of these. So what I loved about Carlos, our accountant, is that he ran all the scenarios, like, you know, with the house, without a house, with Supergirl, without Supergirl, all of these things, and came up with how, like, which one was going to give us the best tax benefit, you know? And we
Yeah.
came up with like the perfect mix. And so that's what, versus the tax preparer, that's what your accountant can do. Is to really, because with the typically with the tax preparer, like, I remember I used to go to like H&R Block, but I stopped because they were like charging me per page, you know? And it was like, oh, by the time they were done, I'm like, that's my whole refund. And so with Carlos and with most accountants, it's kind of just like a lump sum. And they're not just like, you know, they're not just running your taxes, they're giving you advice, you know? So Carlos, you know, will give me like advice based upon changes that are happening. Like, well, what about this? And what about that? And what about this house? And you said you bought another one. And what does that mean? And are you guys renovating? All of these questions that seemed like small talk. 'Cause I'm always thinking to myself, me and Carlos were like talking, and I'm like, yeah. And then, 'cause I'm thinking we're chit chatting like friends, but what he's doing is extracting information for my taxes.
Yep.
Meanwhile, I'm having a therapy session, and Carlos was like, oh, that will affect your taxes in this way. And I'm like, oh. So you don't care about how my renovations are going? He's like, oh, that's nice, but that's how it's going to affect your taxes. So yes, getting yourself, once your taxes get to be a little bit more complicated, getting yourself a really good accountant. There's actually a website that Carlos told me about, because people always ask me about if they can hire him. And he's honestly not taking on new clients, but I am going to get you the link. It is, he was like, you know, going on here and, you know, basically doing your own research. Let me find it. Where is the Carlos? I know, right? Now that it's like I'm under pressure. I'm like, it's here. I swear it is. No, don't do this to me, Carlos, please.
I'll edit this out to be less
Okay, so do it.
excruciating.
I'm like, I can't find it. Of course I can't find it. I'm like, are you kidding me? I was just looking at it yesterday, like, oh, this is,
Think I'll keep it in. It's
it's
funny enough.
it's like ASP, wait,
AICPA.
ASP, ASCPA or something like that.
Well, the American Institute of CPAs is the big national organization. Yeah, they have a tool online where you can like locate CPAs in your
Yeah.
area and find them. Yeah, we interview their experts all the time.
Well, there you go. So yeah, so he was just like, you know, looking there, interviewing someone, because you really want someone. It's almost like your doctor. You want someone that you're going to feel very comfortable sharing, kind of like your, you know, your background, your history, the mistakes that you made, you know, so that way they can really advise you based upon like what's really happening in your life, you know?
Yes, 100%. I am ready. It's happening. My other resolution is just to actually go to a doctor. Speaking of which, I did not go to a
Really?
single medical professional in 2018.
Why?
I don't know. I just kept saying, I think I might have tried to go to the gynecologist, but I think what happened was I went. This might have been last year or the year, but I'm pretty sure it must have been this year. I went to my gynecologist, and if you guys are in a busy city, maybe you have this experience, but I made an appointment, I went, they made me wait an hour and a half, and I still wasn't seen, and I had to go back
Wow.
to work, okay? So I left, and I did make a follow-up appointment, but then I did not go. And I'm not, I mean, it's very serious. I should go to a doctor. Yeah, I was like, man, I'm just like wasting the money I'm spending on insurance. What if, you know, I managed to spend, I did go because you know I save money in my Flex savings account, and I only at my company it's different from every employer, but at my company they let us roll over $500, but I still had you know like a few hundred dollars to spend. So you know I got some new glasses and some stuff at the
Okay.
drugstore, but I need to go to the doctor. I'm gonna do it. Why do I
It's
feel, you're making me
important.
feel bad.
Right. You know, and I said, I'm not gonna lie, I was really never really like a doctor person. But this year I went to the doctor a lot, I guess because in preparation for trying to have a kid, but I found myself at the doctor a lot. So it just got easier because I was always honestly the reason I used to not go is just for the economics of it. I was you know, an entrepreneur that wasn't making a bunch of money. So I was like, this cold will go away by itself. I'm pretty sure. You know,
Yeah.
like, you know, this mole looks it looks benign.
Okay, you didn't have a mole.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, I remember one time, the only time I actually went is like I dyed my own hair. And I didn't realize I was allergic to black dye and my whole head. It's yes. Manny, my mother was like, "Do you want to die?" Because I was like, "I don't have money for the emergency room." She was like, "I sent her a picture. It looked like, do you remember the movie Mask with like
Jim Carrey?
no. Oh wow, you are so young.
Wait, what other one is there? I was like,
God.
it turned your head green? What? Where is this going?
No, Mask is with oh, what is her name? Cher. The
Ooh.
mat. I want you to Google it. Look up the Mask movie with Cher, and she had a son. Eric Stoltz was his, but his name was Rocky Dennis in the movie. And his face, like literally, that's what my face looked like. I want you to Google it so you can take a look. You're gonna be like, no.
I don't want to. Oh my God, him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't born when this came out. Sorry. Sorry.
It's hilarious because you said with Jim Carrey. Oh my goodness. So like that's how my face looked for those of you who are doing the Google search.
Your
It was
face, because it
so swollen. But so I read later that there's a sector of the population that is severely allergic to black dye. And I was like, oh, I was supposed to do a test and I didn't. And so my face blew up like that. It was just all liquid underneath. I could feel it.
Oh my
And
God.
I was like, it'll go away. It'll go away. So I ended up walking to the emergency room. I went and they were like, you're having an allergic reaction. I'm like, no kidding. And they gave me basically a glorified Benadryl and then gave me a prescription, which I thought was like a prescription. And so I go to the pharmacy and they basically said, Benadryl is in the aisle. $800 later, I
Oh my
was
God.
alive.
Okay, you're not
And I
helping
didn't have
us make a case for healthcare, Tiff. You're not.
One good thing was that, and this is what I learned, I didn't know that you could negotiate your bill. And so that's what I learned with that, because I owed 800, but I didn't have 800. And I remember it was like, like they sent me like the pink envelope. That's like the envelope you get right before collections. And my brother-in-law, he was in medical school. He's like, no, you should call and negotiate. So I called and I was like, look, I don't have $800. They're like, well, what do you have? And I'm like, 400. And they said, okay, we'll take it. I was like, oh, wait, 200? They're like, no.
Listen,
And so I
medical
ended up paying.
bills definitely negotiate,
I
definitely.
didn't know that. And so I negotiated down. And so, yeah, but it was a lesson learned. And like, I really was not planning on going to the doctor. My mother's like, your face doesn't even look recognizable. So you're gonna,
Okay.
so it's just important for you to go to the doctor.
I guess that's why I haven't gone because nothing's really happened. I'm pretty healthy, but I have gained weight this year. I think that's just, I know why, because I've just been like not living a normal life. But I'm gonna do all of it. I'm gonna go to the dentist. I'm gonna go to the gynecologist. I need to find new doctors in my area. I think that's also a part of it. When you move and like you have to find all new medical professionals. Like I think I'm done with ZocDoc because it's just like, I feel like I've had a hodgepodge of medical professionals over the last 8 years living in New York. I'm like, which one's closer to my job now? And just flipping. But I think it'd be good just to have like a dedicated primary care physician and take care of myself in 2019. Hold me accountable on it, guys. Tweet me in 3 months. If I haven't gone to a doctor, I'll pay money to a charity. I don't know.
Yes. I mean, you can pay toward my renovation, but that's just putting it out there.
You all right. You all
But
right.
no, this is all good. See, like New Year's is such a great time to reset. So these are good resetting things. For me, for New Year, like I didn't really, I mean, I have some like business goals, but really like my big, like kind of like personal goal is really like just continuing to build on relationships, like, being a good wife, being a good sister, good daughter, good friend, and just making sure a good bonus mom, and like really just trying to solidify my relationships and just making sure I'm present and I'm here.
Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
These are our questions. That's all I'm going to say because everyone hates when I mess up the lyrics. I got your messages.
We're going to bring that into 2019. We're going to bring that jingle. Okay.
Just the first part. These are our questions.
All right. To kick off the new year, we got a couple of good questions from some listeners. Let's start with listener Veronica. Okay. Veronica says, my name's Veronica. Good place to start. And I want to say, I absolutely love your podcast. It brings me life. Since I started listening to you guys, my credit score is now 701. Hey, no. Look at you. And I think it's hilarious that Tiffany still doesn't know your social media handles.
Veronica, mind your business.
This doesn't sound like a question. Okay, on to the question. I am currently using a brick and mortar bank, BOA, the worst. I have been, she says, that was her words, not mine. I have been researching online banks and I really like what Ally has to offer. Sounds familiar. But I am scared to transfer all my money to an online bank. I guess because of the familiarity I have with Bank of America and the easy access. Do you ladies still use a brick and mortar bank in addition to banking online for your regular everyday checking and savings accounts? Would you suggest switching to a credit union and having an online bank in addition to that? There are so many options, and I would like some advice. Thank you in advance. Veronica, a loyal fan. Aw, thanks, Veronica.
Vero, that's what I used to call my best friend back in the day. Vero, so I actually believe in having three. I like to have a credit union because if I'm going to borrow, best place to get the best rates. I have an online-only bank because that's where I keep my savings. I don't even have a checking account there because I like to keep my savings far away from my checking because then they become the same thing. And then I use my brick and mortar for like basically like checking like bills and like where I get a lot of my deposits. So yeah, I have a brick and mortar. I hate to say, but
we know.
I use a bank. Yeah. So we're going to leave it at that. but it's a brick and mortar, very similar to your bank. But yeah, so I don't think there's anything wrong with having those three. I like that because I like having a bank that no matter where I am and kind of in the country, I have access to my funds. Like I said, the credit union is great for savings as well as borrowing money, and then definitely online for savings because it makes your money slightly inconvenient if you don't have a checking at that same bank. So I say go for it and add, you know, have those three in the mix.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I mean, it's not an all or nothing thing. But when it comes to, she mentions being afraid of transferring her money to an online bank. And I mean, in terms of being afraid, online banks, as long as they say they're FDIC insured, are equally as safe as a brick and mortar bank. Just because there's a storefront doesn't make it any less safe. In fact, I would argue it's less safe because it has a brick and mortar location that could just shutter at any moment, because that's the trends that we're seeing in big banks, is that it's getting too expensive to keep those physical branches, so they're shutting them down, and they're trying to compete now with the online bank. So, yeah, I have an Ally savings account. I recently opened a checking account because it gave me the ability to write checks. So I like that, and it's easy to transfer funds back and forth. I still have a big bank account that I use, and I forget why I opened it, but it used to be nice before I realized that Ally refund. I used to like it because, you know, it was nice to have a big bank that I knew I can go to an ATM and access cash for free. Back then, I used cash a lot more often than I do now. And also, since then, it's even less of a reason to stick with the bank because Ally and some online banks will offer a reimbursement up to a certain amount for your ATM fees if you go, you know, out of network, which you have to because they don't have a network of ATM fees. So I could swipe my Ally. I take my Ally checking card, and you know, I take it to the bodega to get money out, and then I get a refund for like the $2 or $3 fee or whatever it is. I think it's up to $15, but check the terms. Yeah. I'm a fan. Credit unions, though, I'm still mad at Georgia Federal, or what is it, Georgia Telco Credit Union. My friends, they still have like $50 that is trapped in an old checking account that I had way back in college because I can't remember my damn password.
Are you kidding?
No. And like, I think at this point that my account's been deleted and I've tried to call multiple times and I need like a phone password. And I cannot for the life of me figure out what 19-year-old Dandy thought was a good phone password.
I mean, you're not using what everybody else is using, the year of their birth?
I'll try that next. I don't know. I have no idea. I have to like go physically to a branch in Georgia, which I don't live there anymore. So they got my money, but I'm coming for it. They still send me account statements. It's really shady.
Really?
Yes.
Like, it's to tease you, like, ooh, man, you wish. Ooh, man, yeah. You know. It's like, give me that $50. Yeah.
That's really annoying. Anyway, thanks for your question, Veronica.
That was a good one, even with the little shade about, because you're right, I don't remember our social media handles. I was trying to wiggle out of it when I was telling you to I was like, oh, darn it, I don't remember them. So we're here now. It's okay.
We don't have an Instagram. We don't take messages there. That's when I remember. I know. I know.
Oh, my gosh. It'll never change.
We've been doing this how many years? I know. It's okay. You guys know how to Google. You can find us.
Exactly.
All right. And here's a question from Paulette. It's a good question for the new year if you're trying to rebuild your credit. She says, does it make sense to get a secured credit card if you already have a regular credit card? And how will getting a secured credit card plus having existing credit cards affect my credit and my credit score?
Paulette. Well, first, I'll describe what a secured credit card is, and then Amanda, you can kind of give some advice. So a secured credit card, I like to say, is like a credit card with trading wheels, right? So it's really secure. So every credit card is secured in some way. Like a regular credit card, it's like that's the bank's money. So every time you swipe your regular credit card, you're borrowing money. So next time you're at Wendy's, you are effectively borrowing money for that chicken sandwich. But with a secured card, they're like, we don't trust you that much because your credit is either like you really don't have much credit. So maybe you're super young or you're just someone who never borrowed any money or your credit's not very good. And so they're like, we don't trust you. So we're not going to let you loan. We're not going to loan you money through your credit card when you swipe. Instead, we want you to secure that card with your own money. Anywhere from $300 is the lowest that I've seen, upwards of like $1,000. So you put that money up, they put it like in a, basically a glorified savings account, a money market account for you. And they give you the card and let's just say you put up $300, your limit on the card is $300. And so you swipe away, pay back, swipe away, pay back. I've seen that like as short as 6 months of using the card wisely, if it's with the bank, that actually has a, you know, that also offers an unsecured credit card that they can say, like, for example, Wells Fargo, they can say, hey, you've been doing so well with the secured card. We are going to make it an unsecured card like everyone else. And we're going to give you back your $300. And so that's basically what it is. Typically, secured cards are for people who are wanting to grow their credit history, but don't have access to a normal credit card typically. So, but what do you think about having both, Mandy?
Yeah, I don't see a problem at all, especially if you've had credit in the past and your score is low and you're looking to rebuild, but you can't get qualified for any new cards, or you don't trust yourself with regular credit cards and you just want the training wheels back on and you want to just take out a secured card to build some good credit history. I don't think if you have a credit card and you also have a secured card, there should be much, if any, impact to your credit score. As long as you are using the secured card properly and making your payments on time, your score should improve. And as long as the existing credit cards that you have, you know, let's say that there's nothing charged on them and you're not carrying a balance from month to month, or getting paid, you know, paying interest, then yeah, it shouldn't be hurting your credit. If you've had credit cards in the past that you've been really delinquent on and that's still on your credit report, that's just going to have to take time to fall off your report. So the secured card behavior will count as good behavior, but the old credit card behavior won't really leave you. You have to wait that 7-year period to have it finally drop off your report. But as Tiffany always says, you know, when they're calculating your credit scores, they're looking at, yes, they look at the past, you know, several years of history, but what's happened most recently tends to have a bigger impact. So the negative impact of that older history of yours will diminish with time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hey. So the short answer is that's fine. You don't have to. I mean, you can use your current credit card wisely. You know, meaning like, so the best way, like, I found to use a credit card that, like, you're like, I really need to raise my credit score, is that if you pay it off, if it's close to being paid off, that would be awesome. Pay it off and then put something really nominal on it, something under $50. So maybe like gym membership, or I don't know, maybe like a magazine membership or something, subscription. And then you leave the card home, let the membership charge the card automatically, and then from your bank account, set up an automatic payoff. Just call the card company and say, what is the statement date? Like, basically, when do you issue me my statement? So you know to pay after the statement date, meaning after they've recorded the card has been used, but before the due date or by the due date. So there's like a window there of like, hey, what was her name again?
Paulette.
Paulette, hey, Paulette. Paulette's used the card, credit bureaus. So they've recorded that because you don't want to pay it off so quickly that they show that you've never used the card. So if you do that, and so I did that once when my score had dropped from like an 802 to like a 547 after my foreclosure and the recession. So I did that with two cards. Like I had two cards that already had a zero balance because I had like a bunch of cards because I was wilding out here in these streets. But I had two that had a zero balance because I had done I had done one of those rollovers and I kept the cards open. It's because I wanted to pay down my debt. So I rolled it over to the cards that had less, a lower interest rate. And so my credit score dropped dramatically, like soon after that, because I had a foreclosure. And I was like, you know what, with these two cards, my friend who was a bankruptcy lawyer, I asked him, like, what do you usually tell your clients? And he was like, you know, Tiffany, just charge something really small, leave the card at home, and then pay the card off in full. So I did that with two cards. And it took about a year and some change. It took a while. But I went to a 750, but that's with an active foreclosure on my credit report. And so, and now I'm back in the 800s.
Yeah. I mean, if you have an existing card and you trust yourself to use it, then just do exactly that. You don't have to open a secured card, but maybe you're opening a secured card for another reason that makes sense to you. So, but as long as you use both wisely, then it will be all fine. My neighbor's name is Paulette, by the way. I keep thinking about that.
Hey, Paulette.
Good old Paulette. All right. Thank you guys for your questions. Again, hit us up at brownambitionpodcast.com or shoot us an email. Or shoot us an email at brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com. Or yes, you can go to Instagram at brownambitionpodcast on Instagram or on Twitter at the BA podcast. By the way,
yes.
Who's contacted Miss What's Her Face, who owns the Brown Ambition Twitter handle? Can we talk to her? Can we get it, please? It's been 3 years. Like,
yeah, she's not using it. Oh, I just got an update. It said the White House says the IRS will issue tax refunds during the government shutdown. We'll see.
Okay. Yeah, right.
We'll see.
We'll see. Side eye.
I mean, to be fair, that's according to the Shade Room. So I don't know how.
Relevant. Listen. Like, okay, Tiff, you should have qualified. Stop.
So now it's time for a boost and a break and a boost and a break. I have been waiting for this time. Do you have a boost or break?
Why are you going to make me go first so you can just stomp all over mine with your way better boost?
You never know. You might have a break.
I'll go first and keep it quick. So I was just going to boost. You know. It's not like I have legislation under my name, but I was going to boost certificates of deposits because I don't think they get enough credit as savings vehicles. So I would like to do a shout out for CDs. So if you have money in savings and a regular savings account and you are looking to earn even more on your savings, online banks especially offer pretty good CD rates these days. And I took a risk because the thing with CDs is that you lock up your money for a certain amount of time, like 3 months or 6 months or 12 months, up to 5, 7, 10 years. So for me, a year ago, we decided we weren't going to need a certain amount of money and we could put it into a one-year CD that earned at the time almost a full percentage point more than my regular savings earned. Or is that true? Half a percentage point more? So we put it into a CD and it just matured this past couple of weeks. And it was so great to actually for it to work and to see that I've earned more money than had I just left it in my regular savings account even. So if you guys are like me and Tiff and you like to hoard cash,
I am a hoarder.
Yes, right? A CD is like a baby step up. You're not putting the money in the market and risking it. So, you know, CDs are still under FDIC insurance. You won't lose your principal if the bank goes under. So, CDs. I recommend if you have money that, like, you've got your emergency fund saved, you have money in case of emergency in a regular liquid savings account, and you have a little bit of extra money, like let's say you're saving for a house, like a down payment, it's a great way to save, put some money away into a CD. And then maybe if you're looking to buy a house in, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years, then it can be a nice way to earn more on your money over that time. With the caveat that when you get a CD, you're like locking in the rate. So you do want to pay attention to what's happening with rates right now. Rates have been going up. So you may not want to lock up your money in a CD for too long if the Fed decides to keep raising rates, because when they raise rates, usually savings accounts and CDs, you'll see deposit accounts have higher rates too. And you don't want to be stuck with like the 2019 rate when the rates are higher in like 2022, yeah. You know? So, exactly. That's my boost. Okay, you go.
So, you guys know, a couple of years ago, it's been 3 years actually. I mean, so 2015, a friend of mine, her name was Angela V. McKnight. She reached out to me. She had just become the new assemblywoman in Jersey City. I think it's like the 35th or the 31st district. And she reached out and was like, I'm the new assemblywoman. I really want to create change right away. I want to get some law passed. I want to focus on education. And I said, okay. And so she was like, you know, obviously Tiffany, she had taken my financial education class at the United Way. That's how we met. And she was like, I thought it was great. I'd love to talk to you about what would that look like maybe in the school system. So we met and I told her, you know, there's already a law in place for high school. And she was like, okay, I didn't know that. And I said, yeah. And I say, honestly, I really believe that financial education should start as young as elementary school and middle school. And she was like, okay. And we met at Starbucks, like I said, December 2015. And she got her staffers to work to look up the law for high school and all of that it meant, and to start to gather information of what we were going to need to write the bill. For the piece of legislation for our bill. So we did all of that. We got a little bit of pushback from some New Jersey administrators and educators because it was great because I got to meet with them. She's like, you know, they're coming to my office. I'd love for you to meet with them because we really need to get them on board. And so I did. And I understood their pushback and their friction because they were just like me when I was a teacher. I was like, oh, here we go. Another new piece of legislation for people who don't know anything about education, and they're making it harder for me to be a successful classroom teacher. But I told them that I believe in integration versus like stopping the educational day and creating space and time. And so they were like, wow, this is really good. So what we did is we crafted the bill to really talk about, you know, that like integrating financial education in elementary and middle school, not saying stop, it's financial education time. For example, like books that like, so if you're going to order 100 books, maybe 5 of them are based in financial education. When I was teaching preschool, I taught for over 10 years. We did like a penny drive every year with the kids. And then every week when we had the penny drive, the kids got to count the pennies and talk about who we were going to give the money to. So like really integrating or like doing savings boxes. So for art, we always did art. We always did like a major art project once a week. And so we would do sometimes like they would bring in a shoebox from home. We would cut out pictures of things they wanted to save for. And what that looked like, even like for like as little as 3 years old, every preschool classroom has like a job chart where the kids do jobs around the classroom, most of them anyway. And so I used to pay the kids like at 3 and 4, like I would give them Monopoly money, $1 if they did a good job, $2 if they did a not so great, $2 if they did a great job, and no dollars if they didn't do anything. Right. Because, you know, and then they got to save it in their savings box. And at the end of the week, they got to spend it in our school store. So all of these things are integrations versus buying new materials, stopping. All of it will require is some training for teachers to learn how best to integrate into their classroom. So anyway, we got all of this information back, wrote this bill based upon integration, thought it was so great. It went through the committee. It went to the House. It went to the Senate. It had bipartisan acceptance across the board, got to Governor Christie's desk right when. So he, you know, he wasn't going to be the governor anymore. So he was on his way out and got to his desk, and she you know, spoke with him briefly. It was like, you know, please, this bill is on your desk. Please sign it. You know, but he had, like, I'm sure, like hundreds of bills on his desk. He didn't sign it. So they call that a pocket veto. This was about a year ago. And so that just means he didn't say no.
I feel like we've been following this for how long has it been now?
Forever.
3 years?
This is 3 years.
This is as long as the podcast has been running.
For real. You're right. And it was so disappointing because you work so hard. I remember, like, I mean, there were times when she wanted me to come to testify in front of Senate, but I couldn't because I was somewhere else, enough out of state. But Angela really put in so much work on, you know, Assemblywoman McKnight. And so it was so disappointing. We were like, yes, it's finally here. And it's not, you know? But it's honestly such a, it was actually like, honestly, like almost like a blessing that he didn't sign it. So now we have a new mayor, Governor Phil Murphy. Same thing. This was a little faster. So Angela did the same, like, you know, it was the bill, went through the committee, the Senate, the House, all of that. There was pushback. She had to edit the bill to exclude elementary school and just say middle school. So 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. They felt more comfortable with that. So she said, okay, brought it all the way, got to the governor's desk. Not only did they say, we're going to sign it, but we're going to get it a signing ceremony. So normally bills are signed every day. You get an email saying, hey, your bill was signed. It's a law now. But this was like a ceremony, and they let Angela pick the school. And Angela picked the school in Jersey City called the President Barack Obama School, which I thought was so awesome. She actually helped to rename that school. And so she picked the school. All these amazing students came. And what was even more amazing, so Angela, she's Brown Ambition personified. Me, I'm Brown Ambition, right? Then Governor Phil Murphy wasn't, I don't know where he was able to, or I don't know if he's on vacation or if he's out of state or whatever. So they had Sheila Oliver, which is she's the first Black woman lieutenant governor. And so she signed the bill. So here are all these Brown women and Black women on stage. The president of the school, not the president, the principal of the school was a Black woman. And it just was like, so like, if you look at the pictures, you're like, wait, what's happening? It's just all this beautiful brownness. And so I remember, so they had us all come on stage. So one, Angela just gave me like the dopest shout out when it was her turn to speak. My mom came. I told her last minute, like the night before. Mm. I was like, you know, and she was, it's such a type of thing that you forget to tell your mom. And then she finds out later and is livid. you know, so she came. My best friend Drina came. My friend Rihanna and her daughter, her daughter was home from school. She wasn't feeling well for a couple of days, but she was feeling a little bit better, but still had one more day off. And she was like, I want her to come see this. Olivia is 8. So she's like, I want her to see history being made. So all of us standing on stage. And then, so, you know, Lieutenant Governor Sheila Oliver, I'm like making the hand motion, signs the bill and said, it is officially now law. That was January 3rd, 2019. What an awesome way to start the year. So now, but 2000. So what's so awesome about it is that it takes place or goes into effect for the most upcoming school year, which is September 2019. So that means in the state of New Jersey, all of New Jersey middle school students, there's going to be a requirement of integration of financial education. So something that's not going to be a heavy lift for the teachers, but it's going to start the conversation of financial education in the classroom as young as 6th grade. And so we're going to go back to write another bill to get that elementary school, because I really believe that elementary school needs to be included as well. So I got legislators from Washington and Maryland hit me up saying they wanted to do this. When I was in Texas, the governor's wife, we were talking about it, and she was like, when this goes through in New Jersey, hit me up because I want to do this in Texas. So it's just an amazing thing, and I'm hoping this is going to ripple outward to other states, and that's what we're hoping for.
You're like the best.
So I'm like, literally, so for those, because some people like want to look it up, it's A1414. So if you just Google New Jersey bill or New Jersey law, A1414, it comes up, but I like to call it the Budgetista law, though you're not going to see that on there. Just know that that's my name for it.
We know what it's called.
but yeah, so honestly, it's surreal to think, like, you know, one day when I have my little one and they're like coming home with like financial literacy homework. And I'm like, you know, your mom did that, right? They're like, whatever, mom. I'm like, no, for real, I did do that.
When they're watching that same old cartoon, I'm just a boo. You're going to be like, well, pause that.
Like, yeah. So it's just awesome to like really make lasting change happen, you know?
I mean, I don't know personally, but
you do.
I'm kidding. It's so exciting, especially because we've heard the progress. A long time listeners, if you guys remember, like, heard you talk about this for so long. And it's so, yeah, it's exciting to see you win, my friend.
Yeah. I to me, I played a really small part. Angela, like all of the legislative like maneuvering you have to do, it was really such a civic lesson. I was like, wow, this is all it takes. And Angela, I mean, if you get a chance to Google Assemblywoman Angela V. McKnight, because I was telling my dad about it. My dad's like the smartest man I know. And he was like, wow, when I told him about the law, he's like, do you know how many legislators and how many people in government who could get law passed, never in their whole legislative career ever get a law passed? This is like her third or fourth law, Mandy. She's only been in office like 3 or 4 years.
I tell you, that's That's amazing. The tide. Have you seen like all the posts from like the new class in Congress getting sworn in and like
yes.
all the women and women of color? I mean, I know all the crap happening in the country right now, but it is so like it galvanized. It like gives me hope
yes.
all over again. So that's amazing.
And I just love that she's championing things that people would not normally like. She just got a law passed for, I don't know if hair braiding is huge in New York and New Jersey. So for those of you listening, it might be huge in your city as well, but especially in really urban cities, hair braiding is huge. But the problem is they were treating hair braiders like cosmetologists, and they were making them having to go to school, and which is about $20,000 to get all of these certifications that they didn't need for hair braiding.
Yeah.
And so Angela like worked, and it seemed like such a small thing, but it wasn't, because what it meant was that women who had started these businesses, like, you know, like hair braiding shops, they were kind of operating illegally. They couldn't grow. They couldn't advertise, because if they did and they came to their shop and they said, where's your cosmetology certificate? And you don't have one, even though you're not washing hair, you're not dyeing hair, you're not cutting hair, not anything. You're just literally braiding. And so she got a law passed to say that hair braiders no longer in New Jersey, no longer have to have a cosmetology degree. They instead just have to have an OSHA certificate. And OSHA is just like the protective arm to make sure you're treating your employees correctly and stuff like that. So it seems like such a small thing, but like this is going to transform those women's lives, that they can operate openly and legally and really grow their businesses, because now they're not required to get this like the certificate that has nothing to do with what they're doing. And I just love Angela for that. She is always looking for ways to like, how are everyday people struggling and how do I make their lives better? And like I said, this is like her third law, only being in office for 3 years. Like that's incredible. Like she's incredible, you know? So it was a pleasure to work with her.
Oh, well, hopefully it's just the beginning, my friend.
Amen.
Well, congratulations. That is a good way to start the year.
Right? You know,
just I got my countertops. You got your bill passed. We're doing okay. A year ago, you didn't have a budget needs to bill. A year ago, I didn't have countertops. So, hey, like, we're doing okay. Perspective.
We would love to hear honestly from you guys. Like, so how is your year? Like, I mean, I know you're going to give us your resolutions, but how is your year going? I know it just started, but share something good, you know, so let's set the tone for an awesome, awesome new year.
Positive vibes only.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a PS to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the PS first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.